Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson, and today, after a long hiatus, I'm sitting here with a new co-host. I guess we'll call you a co-host. What do you think?
Just a featuring or whatever for now.
Just featuring. So we are featuring Doug Winnipeg today, and we are talking about the IC title and wrestling in general, and who knows where we may end up after that. So Doug, let's introduce yourself. Let's get to know you a little bit.
Well, my name is Doug Winnipeg. I enjoy wrestling. I've always been a fan of wrestling since I was a little kid. I don't know if I can have an encyclopedic knowledge of wrestling or anything, but I do know quite a bit of just random knowledge, and just always been something I've been involved in since I was a little kid, brother and I.
Nice. Same here. So that's. And how did you and me start talking about wrestling? Was it just random at SAIT, or was it just someone made a comment and then the other one heard it?
I guess we just started working, and then we just randomly started talking about wrestling one day, and pretty much went on from there. Now that's basically like 80% of our conversations anyways.
Yeah, people at work must love hearing us talk about different wrestling facts. So I guess a little bit of get to know you before we jump into it. I guess the first question as a wrestling fan is, what moment stood out to you as a wrestling fan? What is that defining moment that you call back to each time when you think about wrestling?
I'd have to think about that for a second. You know, I really like the Attitude Era. That is easily my favorite part of wrestling. The thing is, Stone Cold is probably my favorite wrestler of all time, and when he first does the stunner on Vince, that's a huge moment for me. And I remember watching that live and being as shocked as everybody in the audience. That, I don't know, I've always thought about that. And really, during that time, Stone Cold, he had some great stuff with Mike Tyson. That stuff was great. I'd have to say that those are probably some pretty big stuff in my mind. But, you know, and if you can fast forward, you know, the Summer of Punk stuff, that one was really good. I'm not a huge CM Punk fan, but I will say that during that time, of course, everybody was really cheering for him. But, you know, and nowadays I tend to watch, you know, mostly Raw, and I'm always cheering for guys like Ziggler and Seth. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of great moments, but it's all a mishmash right now.
It really is. Wrestling is you can define it best as it's a bunch of moments that come together. You can watch the weekly product week in and week out, and you can watch 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour of NXT, and then the 4 hour pay-per-views each month. But that will all blur together at the end of the year, and you'll go through it and you'll cherry pick your favorite moments. Like this year, Braun throwing Kevin Owens off the ladder is going to be a moment that sticks out this year. Long term, maybe. But for now, at the end of this year, that's probably a moment that will stand out. You look at AJ Styles when he won the WWE Championship in the UK, which is the first time that title's ever changed hands in the UK. That's a big moment, because you look at that and you go, holy crap, that's a guy that a lot of people have been behind and weren't sure how WWE was going to handle him or how they were going to move him forward. And they found a way to move him forward. He connected with the crowd. The crowd reacted huge. AJ's been a part of some big moments in wrestling right now. There was some flat times, but AJ definitely was a guy that had a lot of little moments there that you're like, holy crap, I can't believe this is happening, because that was a guy that was such a staple of TNA. And now to be a staple of WWE is really impressive. I guess shifting gears now, you had pitched the idea for this podcast. You'd come to me and said you had an idea, and I liked it. And that was to talk about a certain title. You want to elaborate on what your idea was, Doug?
I guess, you know, we were just talking one day. Again, we have this where we just have hours upon hours of just random conversation. Most of it's just garbage. But what had happened was I was talking with somebody else at work, and we were saying how the IC title is not as appreciated as one was. We were just basically talking about the IC title, and then I pitched to you through text message. I just said, hey, yeah, man, we were talking about the IC title. You should just have an entire podcast on that. And you liked it. We talked about it a little bit more. And, you know, and slowly we just said, hey, we should do this. We should do this. And now we're finally trying it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agreed when you mentioned the IC title, because you can have a lot of podcasts where you break down the week-to-week content, and we did that at One Fall for a really long time, where we'd break down what was happening each week, and we'd do our wrestling previews, and we'd do our predictions. And, I don't know, along the ways, we got, me and Josh, who used to host the One Fall podcast, he'll probably pop back every now and then to do stuff, but we really got down on the product. And your idea was right around the time when me and Josh were down on the product. I haven't watched as much, but you pitched the idea of looking back at the IC title and some of the history. There's a lot of moments with the IC title that are really fun to go back and check out. And that's where I was like, that's kind of neat, because you get to go back, you can view different matches and talk about different IC titles and just the role it played in the company and what it meant for guys and how it helped elevate some guys' career and how some guys, after they got it, they did nothing with it. So it's really interesting to look through history. And we were looking at some of the history and how it was created and what led to the next step for the IC title throughout the years. And I think the 80s for the IC title really stands out, does it not? Because that was when you gave it either A, to the workhorse guy, the guy that was a good wrestler, or you gave it to the guy that you were going to be pushing next, like an Ultimate Warrior, like Brett, like, I'm trying to think of who else off the top of my head, who else stood out as the IC title launching point. But nowadays, it really, once the Attitude Era hit and the Monday Night Wars hit, it really felt like that IC title was hot potatoed around to get ratings, because you're in a ratings war, and that's what matters more than that prestigious lineage for the title. It was like, well, we got to create something different, so let's put the title on Godfather, then let's put it on Val Venus, then let's put it on Owen, let's put it on Austin, let's put it on Rock, then we'll put it on Mick Foley, then we'll put it on China, and just kind of hot shoot it around to try to keep grabbing those ratings. And has the IC title really recovered from that hot potatoing of the title, do you think?
You know, I don't think it's ever been as prestigious as it was. Like, I feel like the moment that it was at its height was when Mr. Perfect had it, almost. And, you know, and then he's going against, like, Bret Hart, and both of these guys, at the time, they weren't the top guys in the company, but they were the, you know, the workhorse guys, those guys who brought it every week. And I don't know if it's ever truly been on that level where you can truly say that these guys who have it now are the best of the best. But that being said, it's not like it's just hasn't been as consistent, I should say, because there are people who have been those workhorse type wrestlers who did have it at one point or another. But I don't feel like it's ever been as prestigious as it was at that point. I'd still say that it's still pretty prestigious. And
yeah, no, having Brett and Perfect with the IC title is definitely something that stands out, because you can harken back to their match, you can harken to their match with Bulldog. There's a lot of Perfect matches that just, one of the things I loved about Perfect was his selling, just the way it'd be like he got shopped the way he would sell. He'd throw him off the turnbuckle, or he'd throw a punch, he'd flop around. But it never felt like it was Shawn Michaels' SummerSlam 2005 overselling to make Hogan look bad. It was to make it look like his opponent was murdering him. And that's one of the key things for him as the IC champion. And it's really a shame, because I think he easily could have been a WWF champion at that time. But that was right around with the Hogan run that had Warrior around as well. So you had a very crowded main event scene. And I don't think Vince probably saw those guys at that size worth putting that big belt on. Though I think a program between Perfect and Hogan is something that they sorely missed out on. A program between Brett and Hogan also would have been good. And that was rumored that when, you remember WrestleMania 9, when Yokozuna cheated to beat Brett for the title. Then Hogan came out and won the title in a couple minutes after that. The rumor was it was going to be Brett and Hogan at SummerSlam, and then that got reportedly got squashed by Hogan because he didn't want to do a job to a little guy, which is why the title got bounced around there, and then Brett finally got it back. But you look at it, Brett won the IC title, and then he went on to win the WWF title. He beat Flair in Canada, no less. So that, and he made Flair tap out, which was something that wasn't unheard of at that time, having Flair tap out like that. So you see a guy that launched his career. Like, it's funny because you talk about Brett Perfect. They're two different guys that have gone on to two different directories winning the IC title. One went on to being a five-time WWE champion, and the other one never really got past that hump. And his bad back really prevented him from getting any higher wrestling-wise. Not to mention the plane ride from hell where he tried to take Brock Lesnar down and he almost broke a door on a plane and killed everyone and they had to let him go. But we'll talk about that plane ride from hell later on at some point. Because have you ever heard of the plane ride from hell?
I have a bit of an idea about it. I the thing is when I was a little kid too, you know, I really liked Mr. Perfect. He was probably one of my favorites. Brett as well. Actually, growing up, Brett was probably my favorite wrestler, as far as I could remember. And actually, Honky Tonk Man. And, you know, when I was growing up, Honky Tonk Man, he was my favorite because he was my grandmother's favorite. And by my grandmother hated Honky Tonk Man. Every time he was on the in a match or something, and he'd be always the same spot. He'd be prepping his guitar to slam over somebody's head. The first one would be, you know, getting out of a submission or something. He'd turn around and get a guitar over the head. And so when I was a little kid, my grandmother, she would react crazy. She'd be like, oh my goodness, turn around. Like, she'd be yelling at the TV, trying to warn whoever's there. And so, like, you know, the thing is those, of course, I have a lot of favorites, but Honky Tonk Man always has just this soft spot, just because, you know, say what you will about the guy or about his wrestling style, the fact is he as a heel, he made you react, and that's what I remember as a little kid. And for the IC title, he's a part of the history. He had it for 400 and some days. I don't know the exact amount. I think it's 54, but I may be wrong. And you know that I also another thing about that is, they don't, that's unheard of. They would never keep it on somebody like that, and they'd never keep it on a heel like that. Ever, like, again, like, I just don't ever see them doing it. And if they ever did, you know, I don't know how it would even turn out.
Yeah, because that, you look at it, we go from talking about the current day where the title gets bounced around a lot, and it's kind of calmed down now. The Miz did a really good job of rehabbing that title for a long time. Brian was going to do the open challenge with it, but he got hurt, so that kind of prevented that. But you look at it, the Honky Tonk Man, who's a guy that I don't know how much legs he would have. He's kind of, like, you look at, I guess the best comparison would be a guy like Elias, and Elias is probably going to go, I can never see Elias being a world heavyweight champion. I could be wrong, but right now I don't think he could be, and that's part of because of who his gimmick is. And his gimmick is similar to the Honky Tonk Man. It's modernized for today's day and age. But you look at, like, just imagine Elias holding the title for 400 and some odd days, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. That would be a year and a half of him holding the title. For someone to hold the title for that long, and like you said, be a heel, is crazy, because that means you're building up baby faces to go after them, and they're losing. And you get this story about the baby face building up to getting ready to take them out, and they lose. And then the next baby face loses, and the next baby face loses, and the next baby face loses. And then you finally get to the guy that you're going to have put on the title. That's strapping a rocket to that baby face and saying that this is our next big guy. And I mean, you look at it, the only comparable thing right now to long title reign would be, and it's not Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar reign doesn't count, I don't care what anyone says, that's the hill I'm dying on, is in New Japan with Kazuka Okada holding their heavyweight title for almost 2 years and having 12 successful title defenses with it. No, he tied the record. Was it 12? Now my memory's getting fuzzy on how long. Anyways, he held the title for a really long time, and they built guys up, and he knocked them down. Built guys up, knocked them down. And with a guy like the Honky Tonk Man, that's crazy. But that brought instant value to that IC title, because you look at history, you look at different points. You think of the IC title, you think of Savage and Steamboat, you think of the Honky Tonk Man, you think of Perfect, you think of Brett, you think of the ladder match between Shawn and Razor, and there's probably a couple other people in there that you think of, but the fact that the Honky Tonk Man is in that group is remarkable, because like you said, the guy wasn't exactly the Steamboat or Savage of in-ring workers. He was slow, and he relied on the guitar shot. You'd think after a year and a half, someone would figure out, I shouldn't turn my back on this guy, because he's going to probably clock me. Or the ref would be like, maybe we should take that away from him. But ultimately, he had a good run with it. And that's neat, because nowadays you don't get a lot of that verbal reaction, like that actually physically reacting to something that's going on, like, turn around, because wrestling has kind of gotten a little jaded. Everyone knows it's a work, and you kind of live in a world now where having moments like those are valuable, and that harkens back to the history of the IC title and just the value of it.
And you kind of think about it too, it couldn't have worked in this day and age, because you know, all of the commentaries and all of the social media and things like that, it just, at some point, any sort of heat that say an Elias or a Honky Tonk Man would have, it would turn into what is the term,
the
X-Pac heat or whatever it's called, where people would just be like, go, I don't want to see this guy anymore. And it is also too, you know, just we're different fans than we were back then, right? Because yeah. I'm sure many fans had an inkling that it probably wasn't real, but at the same time, you know, nowadays it's common knowledge, right? Like and in fact, it's part of the fun nowadays, right? Like you watch it because you're expecting crazy things to happen, right? Things that just are out of the realm of, like, two people have a minor disagreement and they body slam each other. Like, of course it's a work, right? Like, it's and so, you know, back then, I don't know if my grandmother knew. I'm sure she did. She was a smart lady, but you know, she still reacted just the same. And we'd go to local, you know, Stampede Wrestling existed back then, and we'd go to a bunch of different. Sometimes there'd be traveling wrestling promotions that come through where I grew up, and we'd go to those. And, you know, my grandmother would cheer just as hard for people that she had just met. Like, she had no emotional connection with, you know, whoever shows up. But as long as they're being pumped up as the heel or the face, she'd be involved. And so, I don't know, I almost feel like we're different fans now. And I think a 400 someday run, you know, it'd have to be on a guy who is capable of carrying heat for that long. And I just it'd be hard to imagine somebody doing it nowadays.
Yeah, because you look at it. I guess a good example would be, you look at what's going on with Brock right now, how long he's held the title, the shocking moments of him beating Roman. And now, I don't know about you, but I really don't care about that SummerSlam main event. I don't care if KO suddenly wins the Money in the Bank from Braun and wins the Universal title. I don't care if Brock retains. I don't care if Roman wins. Just simply based on the fact that this title's been dormant for so long, I haven't seen enough title defenses from it. And while it's nice to have that number, and that stat will never disappear from the record books, it's just boring and it's flat. Like, I think the last time you had a nice long run was CM Punk. And you cashed in on the wrong time with him. The summer, like you had talked about, the Summer of Punk, they delayed that till they, so Hunter could beat Punk, and then you finally put the title on Punk. But the thing that happened with Punk is he started off as a good guy, then transitioned to the bad guy. He had to have that transition. Honky Tonk more or less was a heel running all the way through that. So that what makes it more impressive. Like, Punk had to do that transition, or it would have got boring because he'd worked through all the heels. So now you need him to work through all the baby faces, leading to Rocky finally getting his title reign, and then leading to Cena and Rock. But that had to happen, or it could have potentially fallen flat. I think Punk's a good performer, but it's still one of those things where it's you need to have that change in character. You have to have that growth and progression. And I think the IC title throughout history was a nice growth and progression for guys, because you even look at it. I remember Umaga having the title. I remember Jeff Hardy having the title. Edge having the title. All these guys were earmarked to being moving on up, and Jeff moved up. Edge eventually moved on up, but there's some guys that fell flat. Is there anyone that comes to mind to you that when they won that IC title, you thought, "There it is. That's your next WWE World Heavyweight or WWE Champion"?
I'd have to say, like Val Venus or somebody. Like the, I'm screwing with you a little bit, but you know, I've always been a fan of Val Venus. I'm thinking about it, maybe Mr. Perfect. There are guys, and you know, another thing when I was researching this, and this is kind of close, but not at the same time. Million Dollar Man never won this, and I always had this just general assumption that he had.
Yeah.
And then when I was looking back, I'm thinking, wait a second, he's not on this list. Where is he? So you know, you give it to guys, and I am struggling to think of a single instance, but maybe like Dolph Ziggler or something. Like I always imagined, I've always liked the guy. You know, just anything he does, really. And I always imagined that he should, at some point, you know, be headlining SummerSlam or something. But he's never really gotten there. And I mean, that's the only person I'm really thinking about.
Yeah, I think Ziggler's definitely one of those guys that you look at and you go, he has that IC title. And he had it, and then he transitioned on to Money in the Bank, and then transitioned on to the World Heavyweight Championship. But there's a difference, I guess, as a wrestling fan, or anyone that's not a wrestling fan, you can win the world title and not be relevant. Jack Swagger, Alberto Del Rio, there's probably a few other guys out there that have won the big title, but never found a way to elevate themselves past that. They win the title and then they fizzle out. It can also be chalked up to the company not getting behind you the way that they used to, because the company, WWE, for any wrestling fan that knows, it can be very fickle, and they can like you one day and then be like, you know what, yeah, it's not working, and then pull the plug on you. And so there's so many factors that come into this. Just because you get a title doesn't mean anything, but typically the IC title meant you were either the best wrestler or you were a guy that they had their eyes on moving forward. And you could see when guys would move forward what the company really thought of them. I think looking at today's landscape, I think it's not the IC title, but I definitely think Jinder Mahal would have benefited from winning the US title first before being hot-shotted into a WWE main event and then closing out pay-per-views and winning the big title. I just kind of look at that as that's where that formula, as a kid, that's what I had as a formula, was I would look at whoever's the Intercontinental Champion will probably be WWE Champion at some point. Randy Orton did it. Jericho did it. There are a few other guys. But Jinder just went straight. He skipped it. And that, to me, felt like a misstep, because I think you could have built Jinder up with that U.S. title. And that nowadays the U.S. and IC title are both pretty much kind of one and the same, where they're an indication on what the future could be. And so I think, what do you think? Do you think they misstepped with Jinder on that, or do you think he should have been shot right up to the top and that was more on Jinder for fizzling out?
They have that old saying that, you know, you know, right people float to the top, or whatever the exact saying is, I don't remember.
The cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, there you go. But the, you know, and so maybe, you know, he did have a golden opportunity to maybe jump into the role and make it something. But you know, and I guess at the same time, if I don't know if he had just tons of fan support as well. You know, and then not a lot of fans were excited that Jinder won it, right? And of course, you know, as you kind of mentioned, that sometimes fans get jaded. Okay, so Jinder won it, but you know, there have been times when people won the title and then made it worthwhile, right? Like they through you know, good booking or through, you know, just their own charisma or whatever the case is. And I do agree. Like I feel like, you know, for me, I didn't watch that SmackDown. I hadn't watched SmackDown in like a couple weeks, and I came back and I was talking with somebody. Hey, what happened on SmackDown just recently? He's like, oh, Jinder won. And I was like, are you serious? Haha, funny story. And then it just felt like they've just they just jumped him to that main event for immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it was one of those things where, like, if they took a guy from 205 Live, say Mustafa Ali, who's a tremendous wrestler, but if you suddenly had him wrestling Brock and had Mustafa Ali beat Brock, you would break wrestling. Like, you'd break the internet, and there'd be a whole bunch. But I guarantee you, the people that like Mustafa Ali, and he has a nice, solid fan base on 205 Live, they'd turn on him, because it'd suddenly be this guy that shoots all the way up to the top, beats the big bad guy, and now you're like, oh, like that's the other issue that is out there is, and you saw it even with Bryan when he won the title, his fans started to turn on him. He had that big crowning moment, and everyone was behind him. Then the crowd started to turn on Bryan before he got hurt, and it's just like, what are you doing? This is a guy you cheered for, and now you're booing because he got what you. What are you doing? No, bad. But you look at it with the titles in wrestling. There are always indications on who's the guy. When Hogan held that title, you knew who the guy was. When Bret held the title, you knew who the guy was. When Shawn had it, when Austin had it, when Rock had it, even Triple H had it. These were all guys that you were like, yep, they're the guys. And now we're in a point, and I think this is what's hurting Raw for me, is SmackDown, you know who the guy is, and it's AJ Styles. Monday Night Raw, who's the guy? Is it the self-proclaimed Universal Champion Roman Reigns? Is it Brock Lesnar sitting in his little farm in Saskatchewan hunting and shooting deer and not defending the title, training for UFC? Is it Dolph Ziggler because he has the IC title? Who's the man on Raw? And it feels very much like there's, you know how a boat has the rudder to guide it? I feel like your big champion is the rudder that guides it. And you look at it as, right now, Monday Night Raw doesn't have the rudder that's guiding its boat. And now you're kind of like, well, who's the guy? And you've got a bunch of guys jockeying for that position. I was happy to see the IC title main event in an Iron Man match. I didn't like the crowd reaction. Did you see the crowd reaction to that match?
Well, as you know, I was actually working at the time, so I was only able to check out the recap. But I was surprised a bit about it. You know, especially since just like weeks earlier, they had this like amazing match, just an absolute like show-stopping match. And so I think everybody walked into that match thinking, okay, so they did a great job a couple weeks ago. They're gonna do as good or better job today. And you know, I personally can't say if they did it, because I haven't watched the full match. As I said, I only watched the recap. But the I'm trying to just kind of thinking about the IC title currently, and yeah, with that match, and I think they're probably going to throw Elias in there, and I think we were talking about Elias just earlier. You know, and I think that might probably be a good move for him. And he's a guy that you're not sure, you know, if he gets the IC title to, you know, at SummerSlam or I don't know however they end up booking the next 6 months, if he gets it at some point, is he a guy who's going to go to that next level eventually? Is he going to, you know, disappear? Right. That's I don't know. Just thinking about that.
No, I think you bring up an excellent point. I think that would be an excellent test for Elias, because I mean, if you don't know, you can go on Apple Music or Spotify and you can actually download his album. They produced his own album to tie in with his gimmick. Walk with Elias is over. Like, it's crazy to think, because when you look back on NXT and you look at the different eras of NXT, if you look at the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and then the Shinsuke and Finn, and then the Joe is in there, and then you've got Black right now running at the top, and then there's a few other guys you have running at the top that were the faces of NXT, Elias was never that guy. He was never that guy that was, holy crap, he is a money. He is money, he is a star. They're going to run with him. And when he got called up, I was like, the Drifter, because he's known as the Drifter, it's not going to work. Like, there's just nothing with him that is going to click. And I remember even seeing his vignettes on NXT and being like, I don't care. I want to see my indie darlings that do the Too Sweet. And then he came into the main roster, and he just clicked. And it's very weird. I remember being at the show that was here in Calgary, that was a house show, and just the reaction Elias got was one of the loudest of the night, and it's like, holy crap, this guy's actually over. So I think you're absolutely right. I think an IC title reign would be good, and the company's clearly behind him, so putting the gold on him would be good, because I really think that Seth's going to move into the main event scene, and I think Dolph's going to move into the main event scene, and I think Drew's going to move into the main event scene. I think those are guys that are going to shuffle in that will challenge either Roman, Brock, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, or Kevin Owens. Those are your five right now that could potentially walk out with the title at SummerSlam. So those are all guys that I could see moving on to challenge for the Universal title, because you're going to have to start building programs up. Who do you think walks out of the title at SummerSlam? Just quickly.
Like the main title or the IC title?
The main title.
I don't know. I'm just going to go easy. It's probably going to be Roman. I think it's probably just going to be Roman.
Now, my other question, and this has been debated by a lot of, I guess, dirt sheet and wrestling fans in general, is does Brock and Roman go on last? And if they don't, say they're in the middle pack, does the crowd turn on the rest of the show?
You know, it's... I think just knowing that would be the last match of the night kind of puts a damper on the entire thing, because no one's excited. Maybe there's some fans out there that are like, oh my goodness, this is the next big thing or whatever, I'm so excited. But I think the majority of fans, at least all the fans that I know, are either just shrugging their shoulders or outright hostile towards the idea of a Brock or Roman finale. I think the mistake would be if they I think it would be a mistake to put it in the middle. That being said, you know, I'm kind of thinking of past pay-per-views where they would have the best match of the night as the second last match, and then they would go on to having just some random match, or I'm thinking about like Undertaker and Heartbreak Kid, when they're having their like show-stopping matches, and then you know at the end of that match you're like so pumped up and you're thinking, oh, time to go home, but you're like, oh, wait a second, the pay-per-view is not over, and then you'd have to sit there and like I just feel that it'd be smart booking to put them at the end, but at the same time, you know, if somebody has a show-stopping match beforehand, it's just not a good book. Like, I just don't feel like it's very good at all. I feel like they should just do what they did with Shinsuke, where someone gets a low blow, and then it ends in like 13 seconds, and it should be in the pre-show, and everyone would be like, yeah, like freaking out.
Oh yeah, if you put Brock and Roman in the pre-show and just had it end in 30 seconds, and then the main event of the show was AJ and Joe, I think that would probably send fans home happy. That would not send Vince home happy, though. Vince is dead set on Roman getting over. We've been bouncing all over the place here, which is fine, because when it comes to wrestling, it's kind of all over the place to begin with. What do you think, well, for my first question is, how do you think the IC title match will go at SummerSlam, which is Seth and Ziggler again?
I hope it's a great match. But as I've kind of mentioned before, I'm actually a fan of both of those guys. I always hope that they'll be those next level superstars. I'm trying to think. It'd probably go to Seth. I'd say if I was to bet on anything, it'd probably be Seth.
Yeah, I would kind of sit there, and I think that Ziggler will probably retain, and I think eventually they'll build to a Drew McIntyre versus Ziggler for the IC title, though they could have a peaceful split, and Drew could just shoot right up to the main event, because God knows he's ready to be the main event. We talk about the guy, and we talk about Roman just not, well, at least to me, he's not the guy. I think Drew McIntyre is absolutely a guy you could put on the IC title, let him run for a couple months, but I think he's also a guy that could skip that and just shoot right up and be like a Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns and have a nice long run with that title, because I just think he has the talent, the charisma, the look, everything that you want. He's a killer finisher. Like, everything that you want. Originally he was the guy that Vince said is the next guy. And then he won the IC title. And then it kind of fizzled out, and then he went on the indies, and then he came back better than ever. So I think he's a guy that easily could be your main event pitcher guy, and he has IC title history with him. My other question to you is, what's next for Roman that could get him over? Is Roman so far gone that you're never going to get him to quite connect with the crowd, or is there something that you think they could do with him?
People, they don't like. Obviously, people don't like Roman. He's in a bad spot where, he of course has tons of fans, but then among the older fans, he's in a bad spot. But I'd say, I never write off a guy, and for one very specific reason, because for years, even up until just recently, I did not like Cena. And there was a point where anytime Cena was wrestling, I'd be like, great, Cena's wrestling, right? It'd be like a Cena Randy Orton is match 24, and you're just like, I don't care, let's move on to whatever else, right? And so for a very long time, and I guess Orton as well, those two guys, anything that they did, especially together for the longest time, I just did not want to be involved in. But nowadays, Cena, as time has gone on, I've become a bit of, I don't want to say an outright Cena fan. Like, I don't have any of the gear or anything, but I just feel like I'm starting to warm up to him a little bit. Yeah. And I feel like Roman with maybe in a couple of years, or maybe with the right booking, I feel like he could get back on that level, right? And there's been a lot of guys too who have been seemingly rising to the top, and then they hit a lull, and the lull may even go for a couple of years, and then eventually they continue on that trajectory, right?
Yeah.
I feel like. We'll see what happens with Roman. Maybe he'll never recover. Maybe eventually the WWE will just give up on him, and he'll be in the indies in like 3 years or whatever. But I feel like this guy has more to give. He just I don't know. Everybody understands what I'm saying. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, he's a guy that can either completely fizzle out, Vince can finally throw his hands up and go, God damn it, pal, I give up, and then move on, or it finally kind of works. Because you're right. Like, for those who, this is a podcast, so you can't see, but Doug is decked out head to toe in Cena gear right now. He's got the armbands and everything. Cena's definitely a guy that has warmed up. Like, when he was Super Cena, and it was like, LOL, Cena wins, that was the whole thing, because Cena never lost. It was a dark time for wrestling, because it was like, oh, God, I can't think of any major IC title holders at that time, because that title kind of bounced around a bit, and it was very hampered by Cena. And I think even you talk about that amazing match that Seth and Ziggler had, and even the match that Seth and Drew McIntyre had were really good. But I think as a wrestling fan, that almost gets overshadowed because of what's happening at that main event scene. And then when you flip shows and you check out SmackDown, it feels like a smooth, easygoing show. Like, you can watch it. AJ's at the top, and he's taking on all comers. He's got Joe, which is incredible to think. Two of the staples of TNA are going to be competing for the top prize in WWE. I don't care what anyone says. WWE Champion has the longest history. That is the most prestigious title in that company. And you've got the U.S. title going. You've got Bryan and Miz going. You've got Randy Orton going back to being a psychopath, which is exactly what you want. You've got tag team tournaments. Everything feels smooth there. But when you look over at Raw, you look at the IC title and go, "This is really great. I'm having a lot of fun." But then you remember the main event scene and you go, "Yeah, I'm gonna walk away slowly and cover my eyes because this is slowly becoming a train wreck." I look at looking at all in all at wrestling right now. Who do you think from NXT that you currently have seen? Who do you think could be a potential IC champion?
I would say, well, they have the
Johnny Gargano
stuff. Aleister Black. I like the guy. He's pretty intense, but he in my mind is kind of one of those guys where it would be kind of a stepping stone for him. Like, he would hold it at some point to push him to that next level. You know who would be interesting and somebody that people are behind, and is if you brought in a Velveteen Dream. I feel like because I don't look at him and think that guy is main eventing WrestleMania anytime soon. But I feel like he could, if you gave him a good run and booked a couple good matches with him, I feel like that guy could probably, you know, make the IC title worth something, at least for his duration. I like the guy, so I think I would be down to see him have the IC title.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Because you think about it, because Goldust held the IC title and he had different programs. You could definitely do something similar with Velveteen Dream, because you've seen him pay homage to the history of wrestling. He's definitely a mark for wrestling, and he definitely has a deep knowledge. Like, you saw him come out with the Hogan stuff at the last TakeOver, the tights that he had when he faced Aleister Black that were very much kind of a Rick Rude callback. He's definitely a guy that would be perfect for the IC title. And I think he has such good mic skills and such good presence. And he understands his character. And I think that's a huge thing that helps define people now, is being connected with your character. I absolutely love your pick for Velveteen Dream. I think he's definitely someone that I could see holding the IC title and it being entertaining and enjoyable. The other guy that I think could easily hold the IC title and run with it for a while is Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole is a guy that just has all the writings on the wall of a guy that the IC title would be that stepping stone to launch him to that next step. He's over with the crowd. He has that Adam Cole baby that the whole crowd sees his name, so everyone remembers who he is, which is such a smart, simple thing to do, but it helps with everyone that's a fan there know that's Adam Cole. You leave that show thinking, "I remember Adam Cole." And that helps ingrain that in the memory. So if you put like the IC title on him, then that's a guy that you can easily have that remembers, that you can remember and be like, "Oh, that's Adam Cole, the IC champion." That's great. But I think I have fun looking at NXT and seeing some of the guys who could potentially be IC champions. There's one guy that I'm very surprised is in the running. Are you all caught up with NXT? Am I spoiling anything if I tell you what's currently happening?
I'm a couple weeks behind, but yeah, go ahead. You can tell me whatever.
You'll just throw something at me later. Tommaso Ciampa beat Aleister Black.
What?
Yep. Uh-oh.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, no, it's all right. But yeah, continue.
Ciampa beat Black. and now the main event for Brooklyn is going to be Johnny, Ciampa, and Black in a triple threat for the NXT champion. I think a guy like Tommaso Ciampa could easily become a main event, not a main event, but an IC contender, because he gets his character work. He gets the thought process of putting things together. By the end of him finally beating Black and getting that title, because Johnny accidentally screwed Black over, the crowd was booing. And it wasn't like that, you talk about that X-Pac go-away heat or that Roman Reigns heat. It was generally, I hate this guy and I can't believe what I've just seen. I think you could definitely find a way to get that to transition to the main card and have him be a despised heel holding that IC title, that cheats, that does everything in his power to just win out. And I think Ciampa, I'm shocked that I'm saying this, because I never thought, I always thought between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, I always liked Johnny more, and I thought I saw more with Johnny, but I almost think that there could potentially be more money with a heel Tommaso Ciampa.
That's the thing too, is a lot of guys surprise you, because when guys are coming up, like a babyface, whatever the case is, sometimes you think this guy is going to be that next level, and they never really do, and then people surprise you. Like we were talking about Elias. You know, in all honesty, when Elias first showed up, I was lukewarm to him, and for a very long time afterwards, I was very lukewarm to him. Kind of the part of the program where I would just fast forward, right? But like you kind of mentioned it, he really got just tons of heat in Calgary. Like just audience reaction, people are freaking out about this guy, and then he kind of warmed to me, right? And I imagine what was it? The five person not Hell in the Cell. What was it? Sorry?
Was it the gauntlet match?
No. No, it was the one where, like if you remember, Roman Reigns beat, what's that guy's name? I know these names, my brain's just not working 100% right now. But he was in a big match, and I just felt like his name was strange in that match, but he didn't seem out of place. And that's kind of around the time where I really started to like the guy, right? And I don't know. I look at a bunch of people that I thought that I just would I didn't like, and they grow on me, right? Same with Velveteen Dream. I was kind of just lukewarm to him for the longest time, and then he started having some like great matches, and like his portion of NXT was better than some of the other guys, and you're thinking, okay, I can get on the get behind this guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. I think that's a fun thing about wrestling, and I'm glad to be back doing podcasts on wrestling, because I miss recording conversations about it, because there's just so much you can talk about from so many different angles. And like you said, it's going through the process of looking at guys and being like, man, I don't like this guy. Oh, this guy's okay. Okay, yeah, I'm buying into this guy 100%. It's fun to see the process with wrestling and just how things go, and how you sit there and you're like, this guy that has the guitar that's singing about how crappy my town is, I'm into this. Like, this is something I'm enjoying right now, because I'm going to yell and boo at this guy, and eventually it's going to turn into he's going to eventually get a massive reaction. And like, I don't remember what city it was, but he got a massive reaction, and he called them scumbags, and the crowd starting chatting, we are scumbags. And it's little things like that that you're like, this is neat. Because again, harkening back to the beginning of the podcast, it's talking about those moments, those little moments as wrestling fans that you can hold on to, because a good 80% of this can be a rough go to watch sometimes. Yeah. It can be a tough viewing process, but there's that little nugget that it's like, holy crap, this is the most incredible thing I have ever seen. Why doesn't everyone else watch this? It's just fun little moments. Like I think one of the moments from this year and who knows how it's all going to play out. But when Brian came back, when they announced he was cleared, and that first time he did those drop kicks to Sammy and KO, and just seeing him do the kicks and just how quick he was moving in that ring and flying around, and it was like, holy crap, like, this is incredible. You know, there's one IC champion we didn't talk about, and I think we'll probably have to save him for another episode, but we didn't talk much about Chris Jericho, one of the staples to the IC title. Any quick thoughts on Mr. Jericho?
I think I'm not exactly sure how. I think he's won it 9 times or 10 times. Don't quote me on that, but it's. I think he has the most reigns of anybody. And you know, Jericho is another guy because, you know, when I was growing up, during those Monday Night Wars, our family was the prototypical family, where when WCW started beating the WWE in ratings, we were watching WCW 100%. And then as the rating wars picked up, we would be bouncing between the two, between commercials. Like, once a commercial hit on WCW, we jumped to WWE. And then as the WWE started getting better, we eventually turned it over to the WWE. And so basically how the ratings were going was what our family did as we were watching. It's very strange. That our family was accidentally following the ratings, and so, but like to go back to your point about Chris Jericho, I remember him as like a nobody, right? All of the main storylines were NWO based. Every week, a new superstar would join the NWO, or they'd screw over the NWO, or you know, the Wolfpack NWO would show up, or you know, Diamond Dallas Page would do something, and none of those things you'd think to yourself, oh, what was Dean Malenko doing? What was Chris Jericho doing, right? Even though I look back at it now, and they were indeed having the best matches of the night, just nobody cared, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm bouncing back between WCW and WWE, and I see Chris Jericho show up. And I just kind of shrug. I'm like, great, this guy, right? I don't even know if I ever knew his name at the time. I just recognized him. And then, of course, you know, you see his trajectory from there, and he became one of my favorites of all time. He became an amazing performer, great on the mic. Yeah, he's just, the IC title is a title that was built for him, I think. And, yeah, yeah, I guess we just have to talk more about him. And then we didn't talk about a lot of them, to be honest. We need to do the history, I guess, maybe. Yeah. Pat Patterson, China. We didn't talk about China.
There's a lot of people we got to talk about, and we're going to go through, and we're going to pick out some of those IC champions and take a look at some of their matches, look at some of their moments. This is really just a nice introduction to kind of what we're going to do. And as this grows and evolves, but we're definitely going to be putting a focus on the IC title. We're not going to forget about what's happening in the rest of the world of wrestling, because there's a lot going on. Currently, Jericho is an IC champion, but it's in New Japan, which is a weird thing to say, because I never thought I'd see Jericho wrestle anywhere else, but yet he is an Intercontinental Champion in Japan. And it's really weird, but Jericho, absolutely, you hit it. The nail on the head with Jericho. The IC title is built for him, and the fact that he has come up as probably, you could have a conversation, I'd like to have this conversation down the line with you, of your top five all time. Jericho is definitely a name that deserves to be in a conversation for what he's done, and a lot of that's built on his run with the IC title at different points. So, yeah, I think Jericho's someone to look at. China's absolutely someone to take a look at. Look more at Brett, look more at Roddy Piper, look at Bulldog and that Wembley match. There's so many IC title moments to take a look at, and I think we'll definitely do this again, don't you, Doug?
Yeah, just a good introduction, and you know, we also jumped around all over the place, and I think most of our IC title things will be, we'll be talking about Pat Patterson, and then we'll be talking about something else, right? So But this was a great introduction.
This.
I just want to say that thanks for inviting me to do this.
Yeah, no, Doug, I'm more than happy. I think this is definitely something. There's times where we've had conversations. I wish I just had a recorder right now just to put it in between us and just let us go and just talk about whatever we were talking about, wrestling or whatever else we were talking about. It's definitely an interesting conversation, so I'm really glad you were willing to come on. Any social media for you to plug at the end, or are you good? You want to keep that all hidden?
Yeah, and I don't really have any public social media, so don't worry about it.
So no worries on that, on social media. So
maybe I'll start one though. Maybe I'll do a little Papa Pump, and we'll figure it out from there. So
we'll get you with a Scott Steiner emoji, and you'll be set. You'll be off and running. He's someone that's never won the IC title. I don't think he ever will, but it would be interesting to see if Steiner, one of the Steiners, ever won a singles title.
Now I'm thinking about it. I don't directly recall if his brother won it either. And, you know, at the time, at one point, he was pretty hot, so maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
It's one of those things where you kind of look back, and that's another thing that we'll probably do is we'll go back and look at different guys over history. So, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, as we will be putting out more wrestling podcasts featuring Doug, as long as Doug's willing to come back. And we might have a few other little ideas floating around there about things we can do with Doug. So make sure you subscribe, and thanks for listening.